Sunday is like Bomer. And the country goes to Meron. You know, as if we're all a bunch of Kabbalists. And it unifies the country. You don't even have to be Orthodox. You know why it's so appealing to everyone? Because they see it as something spooky and beyond us. You don't have to use your brain because you're not going to understand it anyway. Doesn't seem to infringe on your lifestyle. Everything that was appealing about all the religions that were competing with Judaism over the generations. What is ironic, to say the least, is the fact that Kabbalah is quite the opposite on every level. I'd like to discuss Kabbalah a little bit. What is it? What, it's not as simple. What it's not is what everyone says it is. It is a chelik of Torah Shebal Peh. First, we have to put it in its proper position. Like the rest of the Masorah, it went down through Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was one of the Gdolei HaTanaim. People don't make the connection between Rav Shimon and the Mishnah and Rav Shimon and the Zohar. It is certainly no less profound than the Migla parts of Torah Shebal Peh. It's profound. The depth is not touchy-feely. It's physics, but not theory. The God-given real thing. And I'm not being poetic here. Part of what makes it so misleading is the medium. In all of Torah Shebal Peh, there's a medium. The medium is muscle, example. The examples in halacha are cases. The examples when it comes to values are the stories of Medrash. And to the every man, Medrash is lore. We've already lost the every man in his understanding and appreciation of Torah Shebal Peh when you get to Medrash. Medrash is not a bunch of fairy tales. Medrash is not a bunch of stories. Medrash is not even the inside story as to what really happened. It is no less technical than halacha. Values are absolute, and they're precise, and they're the subtleties, the sensitivities, and two situations seemingly identical that are slightly different, and one is destructive and the other is life-giving. It's the same idea. Halacha is a bit easier because there are numbers, there's a shear, a size. Here you're dealing with a concept that's abstract, a value. So in Agada, the same way that in Halacha you deal with a case, in Agada you're dealing with a story that is supposed to be communicating the concept. And you've got to narrow it down with precision. Because the medium is different than that of Halacha, is another skill. When you master the skill of Halacha, you don't automatically master the skill of Agada. Developing values means that you've got to engage a slightly different dimension. Even in halacha, we abstract. We turn everything into a binyan av. It becomes a principle. When it comes to values, it's certainly that way. It just calls for more abstraction, and the more you abstract, the more you have to be careful with the precision. Or else it's just the thought that counts and you lose everything. That's Agada. Sod is another miktsoa. It's another field where you have to be properly trained. It's another aspect of Torah. It's reading the psukim on another level. We understand psukim as pshat. The medrash will give us the drush, including whatever medium it's using. And the pasuk also was given in the Kabbalah Satorah on a level of sod. Sod is another language. It's not shot, it's not drash, it's not remez, it's sod. The bridge between the Torah Shebiksav of sod and the real meaning is the medium called Kabbalah. That's its Torah Shebal Peh. And it's difficult and technical, as detailed as any difficult sugya in Shas, actually as lots of them. And what's worse is that when you finally work out all the details, all you got at the end of the day is the medium, the mushal. Then you got to go figure out what it really means. So you've calculated the sugya. And what are you left with at the end? How many of these and how many of those? And this is up here and this happened here and this happened there. Okay, now that I really worked out the whole order of things, what does it really mean? The Mishnah in Chagiga talks about the transmission of the Torah Shebal Peh of Sod. Perek Ein Dorshin begins with that. Sod is to be given to individuals. There's a Yochid Umevin Midato, an individual who understands on his own. In other words, only an individual. There's a communication going on that doesn't allow for it to be in a group level, in a group format. You're communicating where there's got to be one-on-one. But Mevin Midato, he's got to be able to take it himself. The Masorah can only be halfway. The Masorah has to be left as muscle. It's got to be left as the medium only. And it is for the student to then go and work out what it really means. Every area of Torah Shebal Peh has its avoda. The first one is learning. Talmud, learning. There's learning, there's retaining, there's understanding. All of that, the avoda there is with a Rebbe. When there's Svarim, it's with Svarim. The avoda in the Torah Shebal Peh is Mevin Midato. Not only do you need all the hasmada, not only do you have to chazer and chazer till you got everything down right. After that, you got to figure it out yourself, and no one can help you. Maybe midata. Why is that? On one level, because you're dealing with ideas that are deep and subtle, and we necessarily will always lack a vocabulary for it. Vocabulary, definition, equals limit. And basically you're studying the characteristics of limitlessness, which in our vocabulary is self-contradictory. How do you define aspects of infinity? It has no aspects. And yet it does, and yet it doesn't. Our vocabulary cannot deal with it. Flowery language can create muscle. To figure out what that means, you need a lev mevin. How do you develop that level of a lev mevin? So there are all kinds of rules. When you learn Kabbalah, who should learn it? And then you read the stories of what the Kabbalists did and what they advise that you do if you want to study this. And essentially it is a process of distancing yourself from Olam Hazeh. Breaking loose of what you up until that point considered necessity. Being in total control over instinct. Understanding that all of life is luxury. You can not only exist but be happy and functional. Lacking just about anything. You can naturally eat the awful food and it won't make much of a difference. And won't feel like you deserve a medal for it. Because put it in its proper perspective, it's meaningless. And you'll function when weak. And function when tired. And it won't affect your disposition. Sound like science fiction. Rolling in the snow is nothing. Being a pleasant human being when you don't sleep is much more difficult. Why do the Kabbalists fast? It's not just fasting. It's rising above physical need. So long as the physical finite world to us is necessity, we cannot possibly imagine anything outside it. We cannot reason with anything outside it. That lev mevin, that understanding heart, that has to go and transform the mushel into rational thought, can only come about if you literally transcend physical need. If your world no longer exists on frames of reference that are finite. If pangs of hunger don't affect you, being tired doesn't affect you, and your Yetzer Hara doesn't speak to you. Static and background noise, but doesn't really connect because you're somewhere else. Then you can start reasoning on a level that is above the finite. This is not spooky. This is not surreal. This is demanding and tough. That's the real thing. Ever since it was decreed up in heaven that the writings of Kabbalah should be available over the counter to all who wish. Ever since that happened, unfortunately, it has lost so much meaning. Chazal mentioned the idea that one of the reasons it is left as secret is not only because it's not possible for the everyman to understand it on a simple level, but it's also a matter of kvod shamayim. We respect the things that are important to us. For one who respects Torah, the innards of it, the deepest aspects of it, call for a certain amount of respect whereby you don't just run away with it and you don't blurt it out in the streets and you don't open Kabbalah centers. So not only is what's being taught a far cry from the real thing, the general idea of open to the public is an open contradiction with the proper covet for chokhmah that the Jew has. Yet Klal Yisrael has decided that this is a day for the everyman to observe on some level. We've turned it into Mikzas Yontif, something of a Yontif. Because although the majority of Jews were not open to the secrets of Kabbalah, one of those things that gave us confidence in the absolute truth of everything we believe in is the fact that there were those in the nation who had that, the Bina, the Lev Mevin, to know with a certain degree of clarity just what we meant by Hashem, and how the world came about, and how evil could possibly exist. It's interesting. The two most important aspects of Kabbalah are an understanding of who Hashem is as much as that is possible, and an understanding of evil, where Ra came from. How could Hashem, who is all good, be the source of hetzed, of destruction? And then we learn that he is and he isn't. Of course he's all good. So where'd destruction come from? Well, nowhere else, because there is no nowhere else. There is no where else. The secret of where this world came from is the bridge between these two ideas. That an understanding of this allows one to be able to manipulate physical existence? Yes, but that was always secondary. That was never the goal. Chazal looked down at the idea of living through Nisim and making Hashem change nature. That's not what we respect about it. The miracle stories, they're not what we respect. It's the growth of character, the hard work. The greatness of man, where Hashem gave us a neshama that can penetrate the brain and allow the human being to transcend his physical needs and physical frames of reference and see that which is bigger. We're not studying Kabbalah, we're learning Nigla. Appreciate that hard work and tikkun hamidos gives you the ability to understand more and understand deeper. And if that's a process that can ultimately lead to understanding the depths of existence, then certainly hard work, character growth and development, certainly will give us a greater ability to understanding what we're learning. It's all Torah Sheba'al Peh. Essentially, this is what Rav Pinchas Ben Yair's ladder is all about, that Mesilas Yesharim is based on. Making demands on yourself, growing, and in the process, understanding more. So it's not spooky, and it's not cheap, and very demanding, and solid and wholesome. And we say, Ashreinu Matov Chalkeinu, that we are part of a nation that actually possesses this kind of life and this kind of wisdom. And we walk around with this little desire that someday we get there ourselves, but understand that's a process. And breaking our heads over Nigla is the very beginning of it. You can celebrate. But don't fool yourselves. And if it's funny the way it unites the nation, okay. We can be part of it. And feel a little proud that we really know what it's about. Have a happy Lag BaOmer.